When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinema, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Now, it's one more day to Halloween. So we are going to go to see a horror movie. We had a few choices. There was Saw 10. No thanks.
Nope.
The Exorcist, The Beginning.
No thanks.
Don't think so. And then this one, a Five Nights at Freddy's, also not interested. But here we are. We have to go to something. And this seems to be very popular.
Slim pickings this Halloween.
Yeah,
it's very
like,
slim pickings.
I just have no interest in seeing this.
I did see that this knocked Taylor Swift's movie out of the number one
spot. Oh, did it? Well,
that's why
we're doing it. We're following the money, like Lester Freeman. This is the biggest box office movie right now. This appears to be a huge... I mean, I've half heard of this. It's a video game franchise, which has been adapted now into a movie. Incredibly successful, as far as I can tell.
You mean the video game franchise?
Yes, I'm not familiar with what it's about. It's a horror game. I've never played it. Don't have much time for video games these days.
You always say the video game movies are bad, right?
Historically, yes, traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
But then The Last of Us came along, and that's probably the best one.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's a TV show.
Usually bad, yeah. I don't know much about this. Josh Hutcherson is in it.
Right.
From The Hunger Games. There's a new Hunger Games movie coming out.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. That's weird.
Let's go see this movie.
Okay.
I'm hoping for a few jump scares, and we just had a really good time watching The Fall of the House of Usher. So I'm kind of in the mood for a bit of horror.
Well, here's the promising thing. It's by Blumhouse.
Okay.
And they are very reliable horror studio.
Yeah, that is good.
As we all know.
I think
the last one we saw from them was Megan, which they're throwing about on the poster of this.
Which was great fun.
To get into kids.
I want that kind of vibe. And I also saw that it's 15A.
In Ireland,
which is
yeah.
a good sign because it means it's like scary, but not too scary. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are. Some scares. All right, we'll see you
in a minute.
Bye. Hi, this is Mike. I was just calling to see if that job that you offered was still available.
Yes. The security guard.
I will take anything.
This place was huge in the 80s with the kids. They shut it down years ago. The owner's just not ready to let it go yet.
I will work and you will sleep.
I understand.
Give me your hand.
All you have to do is keep your eyes on the monitor.
Welcome to Freddy Fazbear's, where fantasy and fun come to life.
Okay.
All right, we're back. We have just spent what really did feel like five nights at Freddy's. If it's your first time on this podcast, there are no spoilers until we turn onto Spoiler Street. So don't worry, we will not spoil Five Nights at Freddy's for you. Here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you're a fan of this series, then you already know, so listen away.
Do you mean the video game series?
Yeah, the video game series. If you have never heard of this and you're listening to this, just keep listening to the spoilers, because don't go see this movie, because it's so dreadfully bad.
Yeah, and usually we don't like outright say people shouldn't go and see movies, because like we always want people to support cinema, but this is not worth
this
your money.
Is not worth anyone's money or time. Let's start the positives.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Let's start with the positives.
So, well, I think a few positives.
Someone will enjoy this. I think teenagers.
No, because okay. we were in a... Okay, go it's on. Actually a bank holiday here in Ireland. And the schools are off. So our screening was actually primarily teenagers. So usually when you go to a screening that has a lot of teenagers, particularly like a horror film, like say when you went to see Scream last time or whatever, or Megan...
Megan's a good
kind yeah there'd
of
be good reactions from the teenagers. They'd be kind of gasping and kind of, there's usually a good audience vibe at a horror.
Yes,
there
you're
was
right.
no vibe at this movie.
You're so right.
Occasionally there were people whispering to each other because they were so bored, but there was no vibe. And yes, I was one of those people whispering to someone else. What's interesting about this film is Josh Hutcherson's really good, right? Like, it starts out at a very slow pace, which I was like, you know what, this is kind of interesting for a horror film. It's like, boy, it's really setting us up, and boy, it's still really setting us up. And like 45 minutes
that
and I was
slow
like
slow pace continues
this,
right till the end.
It's still really setting us up, but in a way doesn't inevitably work. It doesn't work because it's got it all wrong. When a horror is doing it like that, there needs to be like suspense built in,
or dread of
and
which
this
there
has
are neither.
Neither. It's yeah. just watching someone going about their business. So it's kind of like, I am no horror expert. Horror is a genre I watch very little of because I often get too scared and don't like to watch it. But I've obviously watched a lot of horror, and I mentioned Fall of the House of Usher, you know, before we went to see the film, and that's like by Mike Flanagan, who's like an incredible horror director. And it's quite the come down to watch Fall of the House of Usher and how suspense is built into 8 episodes of a show there.
Mm.
Versus not built into at all. Like, this movie was just under 2 hours, but it felt like 2.5-3 hours. It could have lost 45 minutes. And then the premise was kind of unusual, and I actually found it quite interesting. Like, it was kind of a mad setting.
Describe the synopsis there, I guess, for people.
It's like a guy who, he's like the primary carer for his younger sister, but he doesn't have very much money, and he has to take a job in this kind of creepy, closed down
kind of amusement center for kids.
Pizza restaurant that has like animatronics.
Yeah,
right?
From
it's
the
quite
80s.
Odd. Yeah, it's yeah. quite odd. And it seems, I think it's set in the 90s.
And the five animatronic creatures seem to be a bit creepy.
A bit creepy
maybe,
and like...
Maybe they're
maybe
alive.
A bit dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's actually all a good setup. And like the cast is all good. But it just kind of goes... No, I just...
Yeah, here's that. You've nailed it. You
it's
nailed
so
it.
Boring.
It is the pace of this
yeah.
movie is so incredibly slow. And, you know, we spoke about Megan, which is the last Blumhouse movie we saw. And I thought that was pretty good. But, like, next to this, it's a monumental masterpiece.
Yeah.
Because you look at it and you're like, that movie had energy.
It had. It's the same also, audience. It should be the
it's
same audience.
Exactly.
As this
it's,
film.
They've put it on the poster for this movie.
Yeah.
They're like, from the people that brought you Megan. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that fucking... Casey. And also very similar. An animatronic thing
yeah.
who wants to look after a child.
Yeah.
And the primary carer, you know, there's been a tragedy yeah. in the background. And
very
this person
similar.
Is a primary carer and doesn't really want to be.
But
it's almost
was,
identical.
Megan
but Megan
was,
Megan is leaping around the screen. She's literally
she's
like...
She's so interesting.
And she's interesting and kind of
and
creepy.
Megan's scary and funny. This film's neither. But in particular, while
it's
there was
slow.
A few there was a few chuckles in this film... There was not one jump scare.
Well, here's the
like,
thing.
Like, not one.
It's funny you say that, because this... I think that's the other issue this film has, besides being, like, a slower than a glacier. Like it plods along like the... You know, okay, actually, it's perfect, because Megan is in the car in that movie is sprightly and running around corridors and has weird, cool movements.
Mm-hmm.
These creatures just, like, bump, bump. They walk around like RoboCop.
Yeah.
And they're not interesting or threatening, and the movie walks around at their pace.
Uh-huh.
But... The other issue with this movie is it is so... It takes itself so seriously. It is like this... It's like... This, there's no jokes. Nobody's cracking a laugh.
Yeah.
Like you know, if it... But it's so jarring because it's such an inherently goofy setting
yeah.
and premise that if they'd lent into it and made it like a horror comedy, there could be something fun
yeah,
in here.
It could have worked better.
But no, it's like it's really interested in its lore. It actually deals with some very weighty
yeah.
subject matter, which we'll talk about in Spoiler Street,
yeah.
which again, super jarring, because I'm like, this is very uncomfortable stuff.
Well, could have lent into like the kind of style of It or something. Like there's
It, another masterpiece compared to this.
There's established properties that do a lot of the stuff in this that like you feel like they could have kind of lent on
yeah.
to like get some inspiration for me, and I find it hard to identify because I'm not like a big horror person,
but it's just
I feel
it's
like
just lifeless
missing
it's lifeless
is, like, I think a lot was missing in the audio. Like there was whole scenes with like no music behind them, and like if I was like, if they cut half the scene again, I'm speaking like I know how to direct, if they cut half of the footage and like put a bit of oomph behind it with some music, like something here could be good. Like the scenes of the animatronic things dancing, but it's like muted background music. It's like this should be the vibrant, like,
yeah,
big music scene, and like there's nothing happening here. I just can't believe how many people around us were just sighing. Like, everyone was just so bored.
You're so right, because I assumed there would like there'd be an audience for this. And maybe, look, I'm sure, I hope, please let us know, by the way, if somebody maybe fans of the game will enjoy this, because it's probably got references and stuff.
Exactly. But if you're, see, I think if you're into the game and we're missing that reference completely, there's probably lots of cool things where you'd be like, you know, like, for example, we started watching, what did we start watching last night? Gen V.
Yeah.
And I
Which
was
is
like,
great.
This is not for me. I'm not interested in it. And you were like, no, but because you really like
The Boys,
there's a lot in it for you.
And I kept going and had a great time.
So yes, we have different reference points. So I totally take the point. And if somebody is into the game, actually, please message us. And we know one of our long-term listeners, Zombie Kitty, has messaged us about this before. So message us and tell us what you think relating to the game. But if you put the game out of it and you've not played the game, I struggle to understand who the audience is, to be honest, because teenagers like a scare. You know, like when we were teenagers, yeah, we saw like Scream and we loved it. But
they're not really.
This has got no, there's no scary moment. The violent moments are so timid. Like, I was like, this film, I actually think 15A was the wrong rating. Like, I think
it's got like 12 PG-13 vibes. Now, it's probably quite, it would be quite scary for a 12-year-old, parts of it, potentially. I don't know. But like, yeah, I don't know who it's for. But I guess the video game, I mean, I haven't played it, but like, I think it's a good setting for a video game.
I was thinking that too. You playing a night
security person, mm-hmm, in an abandoned thing, and things are moving in the background. That's fun. I love those kind of survival horror games.
I was thinking that, and if you're like the player, you'd get a lot of jump scares from the setting.
Yeah.
But as a viewer of the film, and Josh Hutcherson, I really like, but he brings nothing to this.
He's
a very subdued actor, and like, yeah, he's very serious. It's like he's in a different film than
But that's what I mean. When I wanted this film to be a bit fun and have a bit of life, like he was in that time travel show, like it was a Terminator kind of show. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? It was kind of a comedy.
Yeah.
Where he was like a video game. He just plays a lot of video games,
yeah,
and saves the future or something. And it was just like, he's really fun in that.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. He can bring a lot of life and energy to things.
But his character, he played his character right.
Oh yeah, he did a good job with what is a character who is just mired with tragedy. And that is not the right character for this movie. No, I don't think.
But that's okay. But there needs to be someone with a bit of life around him.
Yeah.
The scenes with Matthew Lillard brought it to life. Matthew Lillard?
Yeah.
He's got energy, that man. Like, Jesus Christ, he's brilliant. So
okay,
that's when it kind of uplifted for me. But other than that, I think we should go to spoilers, because I don't want to spoil anything. I hate to say that we don't recommend it, but we don't.
I don't. I'm sorry. I can't in all good conscience say anyone should spend even one night spending. Also, like, as a framework, that they could have made it very clearer which night we were on.
Oh yeah.
Like, what was the purpose? And most of the nights are just nothing happened.
We were like, by the end, wait, is it night four or five?
It's been like four nights and it's gone okay. Like, he's making money, I guess. We're going to turn on to Spoiler Street now. But before we do, I'm going to take a quick break for an ad. All right, so spoilers now for Five Nights at Freddy's. So we're going to spoil every single night, 1 to 5. Let's go through them consecutively.
Night one. Nothing happens.
No, night one, literally. Also, can we talk about, we were whispering a little bit, to be fair.
Everyone was, though. But, like, it was totally cool in that screening.
We were whispering to each other, like he deserves, why is he sleeping on the job? She keeps telling him, stop sleeping on the job, you are being negligent. And then the most negligent he was when he brings his sister to the place and then falls asleep.
No, Dave, he doesn't fall asleep. He takes sleeping pills,
puts headphones on.
Fall,
she even tries to wake him up at one moment. She's like, hey, I'm just going for a walk. And
see,
he's like,
is,
I'm out, man, I'm drugged out.
What bugged me, right, is sitting underneath this film of like every setting ever of like some form of like a theme park thing in the 80s with kids, whatever.
Yeah.
Was like this very interesting thing that I'd say the film touched on in totality for like at the beginning, 60 seconds. And it came back later, but not deep enough. He's like suffering from this deep trauma of his brother having been abducted, and he's like, he's come up with what is frankly fascinating, a way to revisit the same dream every night, whereby he has this process where he looks at a poster of Nebraska, he listens to forest noises, and then he takes a specific tablet, and then he's able to have the same dream every night. Sorry, what?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It's kind of interesting.
And yet, the film just treats that like that's a normal thing and we need no further explanation. And then we realise too late in the film what's going on, which is, oh, he's deliberately... He's taking sleeping tablets on the job because he can't even go, like... Because we were like... I was thinking, but if he does night shift, surely he should sleep during the day.
Yeah, why not just do that?
He's adamant that he'll just sleep at night.
To be fair, the movie's saying he is feels closer to his missing brother in this place.
Yeah, but the first night, though... I think the first night, in fairness, he fell asleep by accident because he didn't bring the sleeping pills. And then after night...
Well, that's when he realised, because then the kids showed up in his dream.
Yeah, so then he started chasing
it. He's like, whoa, something's going on.
Yeah. So, like, okay, fine, but, like... It's pretty negligent to take sleeping pills on your job, yeah. And then when your little sister's there, and like, I don't even
know
how about the sister stuff.
How about the cop who is like to your man's daughter for some reason? And you just whispered to me like 10 minutes before, yeah, she's his daughter. And also,
the second we met Matthew Lillard,
he's like acting creepy, and is Matthew Lillard. So we're like, okay, so he's the killer.
Then he disappears. Spoilers for Scream 1. If you have not watched Scream 1, skip forward 60 seconds.
And if you haven't watched it, then you've probably guessed from the segue of what Kathy's about to say. No, of course not.
Skip 60 seconds now.
To be fair, that's 20 years ago. What's the statute of limitations on spoilers?
I'm saying skip 60 seconds. Okay. So if you're wasting 60 seconds.
Go.
This film had the audacity to try and do the Scream twist with the same actor.
Yeah.
Like, there was
how
no twist.
How dare you?
The moment we met him, we were like, oh, so he's
how
the killer.
How dare you make Matthew Lillard?
The moment we met him, we were like, oh, so he's the killer. And then when we meet the cop, we're like, oh, so that's his daughter.
And then he takes off the mask like it's supposed to be a big shock.
He takes off the mask like it's the end of Scream.
And we were like, oh, the camera lingers on him. It's like, oh my God, it's the only other character in the movie. He's literally like, it's like if Scooby-Doo. It's like an episode of Scooby-Doo.
He's in Scooby-Doo.
Oh, which he is also in. That's funny. Maybe that's why I'm thinking of it.
It's
where it's like,
pathetic.
Oh, it's the groundskeeper, the only other person
and
that we met.
And the thing is, right? Okay, this might be aimed at a younger audience. Don't know about Scream, right? Therefore, this may have come as a surprise to them. And then if that's the case, then why use the guy from Scream? You're either signposting it to us or you're not.
Well, give
What's this film doing?
I'll give Matthew Lillard work. And I'll applaud the film for doing that.
I mean, the best...
Because he is great.
The best scene in the whole film was, and I truly mean this, was the scene where he's on the phone recording a voicemail to the main character. He gives so much in that phone briefing about the job.
Yeah,
he's such
a
good actor, and he brings so much life to the film.
But he also signposted that he's a crazy, crazy amusement park owner who makes animatronics.
The only good scenes in the movie were the ones at the beginning in his office. Like, it felt like, oh, the film's getting us somewhere.
There's
a mystery.
Also, can we talk about the aunt? What the fuck is up with her? She has this, like, incredibly complex plot to try and gain, like, child support payments.
And she's
spending thousands. She's hired a lawyer. She's spending, like, so she's not interested in the child's welfare.
But I think she is, you see. But the film confused us because he's saying she's not interested. She just wants this welfare check. It's like, well, mate, the welfare check clearly isn't very good because
you're
no
getting
money.
That. Yeah.
And you have no
I mean,
money.
Like, I just don't understand. It didn't make any sense.
And then she actually is looking out for the kids' welfare. But then meanwhile, she's paying someone $200 to, like, trash this amusement thing.
But also, what is going
on? The guy
loses his
job.
What is going on in this movie, which is nominally about five haunted animatronic puppets, that we are spending a scene in a diner with an aunt character explaining to the fake babysitter and her brother. It's just like, you are going through loops just to give us some cannon fodder. Basically, they needed some to create a reason for some people to
but
be there
didn't.
To be murdered.
But they could have just sent, like, local teenagers in.
Yeah, just do anything.
Where,
so
was, like,
elaborate.
This film could have lost 45 minutes. All of that, like, every single bit of that plot, excepting, fine, an aunt who wants custody and he therefore needs... Because we do need a justification for him staying in this job. So he is like, I need this job because my aunt's trying to get custody. Okay, fine, that's grand. That's all we needed of the aunt. She needed, like, one threatening scene with him.
Yeah, she's in
at
it.
At the very
for
beginning,
the
he kicks the shit out of a guy.
Oh, that
in
was
the
kind of interesting, actually.
That was interesting, but he did it too violently. He would have been in prison at this point, or the kid would have been taken off him. He wouldn't have beaten someone up that publicly and that violently and have seemingly zero repercussions other than losing his job. So again, I think they should have just got rid of that because they were like, hinting at more about his character, but then they never like followed it through. And I think the other thing they should have got rid of completely is the cop daughter character, because every time she was on screen we were just confused.
But
like,
you need,
is she a ghost?
But you see, you need,
why is she
you
here?
You need a character who understands what's going on to explain it to you.
She's, but her she's an ex- too ambiguous.
She's an exposition person.
But she was. But it was confusing.
Sorry.
Why is she a cop?
I mean, I'm totally with you. Like, what is she doing in this whole movie? What is her motivation?
Like, if they wanted
at one point, she's like, never take this girl back here. But 5 minutes ago, you and her were building forts
with animatronic puppets.
So I don't understand your motivation, lady.
And why is she a cop? Because the thing is, if you want to have a character there to explain how things work, fine. That can be the caretaker. She could be... anyone. Like, she didn't have to, the whole plot of her being a cop, and like, it just, there was way too much happening. And yeah, you're right, like, the fact that basically what's really interesting when you think about it, and I'm thinking about this more than I ever intended to, if you've got five ghost animatronic things,
just what a sentence,
they were like the F plot in this movie.
Yeah, exactly,
no time. And I wonder if this is going back to that thing about it being an adaptation, that like, if all of those things are in the game and maybe work, or maybe they're over a couple of games if it's a series, well, and this is speculation on my part, trying to bring them all together into a movie is very incoherent.
Exactly. And I think that's what's gone wrong here. Because I would imagine, please write in people who have played the game, but I would imagine that the game is, you are the security guard, you are in that location, and there are scares.
Yeah.
And you experience them.
And you probably
and I would imagine there's a little
mystery.
Bit of plot, but this is like, okay, we've now got a movie. And I noticed the person that created the game wrote this movie as well, which is another reason maybe why it's treated so like so seriously.
Because probably they were like, well, The Last of Us took its source material this seriously.
Yeah, exactly. So
like,
I'm like,
that's a HBO drama.
I almost wish somebody else that he'd written it with somebody else. With a bit of perspective, perhaps.
Well, it's really hard to kill your own darlings, right?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. And but that's what I think's happened here. I think they were like, okay, we've got to make this into a plot and a movie, so we need a character that needs a reason to be there, we need stakes, we need someone to be at risk.
You write
a daughter
in. Steve Ulrich or Matthew Lillard. Yeah. And we couldn't afford Steve Ulrich.
So suddenly, as you've nailed it there, I mean, like, the animatronic characters become the F-plot. And then you're spending all this time over, like, a custody battle with an aunt
the film is called Five Nights at Freddy's. And, okay, two things we have to say. First of all, the five nights were not signposted, so we couldn't keep track of what night was when. Secondly, I didn't know which one Freddy was. There was all these animatronics.
I think it was the bear.
And I was like...
But the place was...
But which one is it? Because he got no more screen
none
time
of
than the
yeah, exactly. None of them really were indistinguishable at all.
The one that got the most screen time was the monstrous cupcake.
Yeah, was that one of them?
It was one of them, yeah.
Okay, I gotta say, I in the film's favour, though, one of the most horrifying moments to me, though, was when the cop delivers the line, it's not just their spirits, their bodies are in there too. And that actually creeped me out big
no
time.
Because at that point it didn't creep me out at all, because I was just like, why is this cop been in like 20 scenes at this point and never told him any of this before?
I know, actually the worst bit was when she realizes that her father kidnapped his brother, and she knows it, and she says nothing.
But I mean, in fairness,
they're building forts.
But she seems to be in some sort of like a disturbing, controlling relationship with her dad, right? So that's okay. But then, like, that fine. I appreciate that for the character. But then she's kind of 75% hinting at him at all times anyway. So she either should have been hinting him nothing, or just told him.
Yeah.
Because us watching someone half hinting to a character is just not interesting. Anyway, I think we need to wrap up. We've talked about this movie more than it's due. I am very disappointed.
This is like the worst film I've seen in ages. I was so bored.
It was just boring.
Yeah.
That's all it was. Like, if it was on TV and we weren't at the cinema, I'd have actually just turned it off. Like,
definitely.
I wouldn't have finished it.
We started a film last night, which we did turn off. Also a horror film.
Another Halloween horror movie. What's it called?
It was called Totally Killer on Prime Video.
We couldn't finish it.
But
it
I wish I could have turned this off. But... I mean, we had fun talking about it.
We left the cinema, but it's not one you'd like leave the cinema
right.
Okay, well, if you liked listening to us talk about this, please head over to wherever you listen to podcasts and rate us 5 stars. We always forget to ask that.
Yes, that'd be lovely.
Please do it. It makes a really big difference, actually. So whether you leave a recommendation, Or you leave 5 stars, or if you actually just refer the podcast to a friend, and if somebody, you know, likes talking about movies, recommend the podcast to them. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, or we're on Instagram or Letterboxd at The Cinemile, so head over and talk to us there, or just email us thecinemile@gmail.com.
Hi.
Thanks for listening.
Why do I always get the weirdos?